All right, and welcome. This is Mike here. Hope you are doing great. I am your host for the Winners News Radio Network, and we appreciate you being here today. And I'm going to share with you today some very powerful ideas to help you to maximize your income, your potential, and really create the best opportunity for you to succeed in this ever-changing world that we're living in. So at our station here, at this program, I want to make sure that you are here to understand my goal and my mission is to make sure that we have that impact across the board with everything that we do, sharing with you relevant, informational, educational, and yes, motivational information to help you to really grow beyond your wildest dreams, as my belief is. So today I'm going to share with you the top performers checklist. I'm going to share with you 17 points to help you to really understand what it is that separates the average from the above average. And my question for you today is, have you ever wondered what that is? Have you ever asked yourself what separates the people that are doing average from the people that are doing way above average and exceeding in all areas of their life? You know, there are some distinctions and great points. In my business, over the lifetime of my career, I've studied the very, very best. I've worked with the very best in the world of sales, of leadership, of speaking, of training, coaching. And I've looked at the great salespeople that I've also had the honor of coaching and working closely with to clearly check in to see what is it that really separates them from everybody else. Because there are some very clear distinctions. And honestly, they're what we like to call slight edges compared to everybody else. There's nothing radically different. Listen, we all live in the same world. We all deal in the same marketplace. We're all dealing under the same economic conditions surrounding our world and whatever we are selling. And whatever that you are selling is out there, and whatever you're doing as an entrepreneur, you're frankly, the only thing that separates you from everybody else in the competitive world are the distinctions that you do on a daily basis. What are those things that are separate and distinct from everybody else in the marketplace? So what I want to encourage you to do today is take down these thoughts. Take out your journal. You should have a journal that you're writing these thoughts down and anything else that you might be reading or listening to, whether it's audio, video, or visual. Maybe you're reading books like you see on my shelf behind me and the ones that you don't see in front of me over here. But you should write these thoughts down and write down ahas, things that, you know what, I could do this just a little bit better that makes a difference in what I'm doing. I'm currently doing some of these things. And so here's what I got to do. I got to do this just a little bit different, a little bit better, a little bit faster, a little bit more effective, a little bit more efficient. And you're going to see radical changes, radical, over a period of time here in your business as to what you got to do. So I want you to make sure that you write these things down and keep a journal, like I said, for yourself. So let's get into the 17 points, and we're going to get started with it. So you ready? Let's make it happen. So here's the first one. They are always learning and growing. You know, goals are great to have, and achieving those goals are excellent, right? They're terrific, and you should have goals. You should have plans to achieve those goals as you make progress and want to make progress in your business. However, there's another element here that makes that separates the average from the above average, and they're always growing. See, at the end of the day, once we achieve a goal, I'm sure you've had this experience, you get there and you go, okay, what else is there? Now, you can either be complacent and content with that achievement, or you can say, okay, now we can grow to the next level. We can grow to the next level. So top performers are always growing and they're always learning. They're listening to recordings like this. Again, they're taking notes. They're putting and implementing the ideas and the ahas that they're getting from this information, and they're doing everything they can. They read books, they listen, they hang around very successful people that are much smarter, brighter, wealthier than they are. They listen to videos, they watch and learn as much as they can to grow their business. They learn from their clients. They ask questions of their clients. What can we do to improve? What did we do well? What can we do to improve? Point number two is winning is the only thing on their mind. Winning is the only thing on their mind. Our goal is to win. Sure, we want other people to win, right? But not my competitors. I don't want them to win. I like to have them have success. I want them to be happy. I want them to be wealthy. I want them to be successful in their businesses. However, my mission is to win. My suggestion to you is to have that same mindset. And listen, people expect that you have a winner's mindset. You see, you can either, there's two distinctions here. It is either you play to win or you could play not to lose. Now, most people play in the world of playing not to lose. They do just enough just to get by versus winners do more than is expected of themselves and of other people around them. So that's number two. Winning is the only thing on their mind. Point number three is they thrive on the word no. They thrive on the word no. They enjoy the word no. You see, the more no's that they get, they understand logically, systematically, they understand statistically why those no's are so valid, and they're important. They process every day, hey, listen, I'm gonna go out there and get as many no's as that I can, because I know if I get a lot of no's, then I'm doing one, work, okay, I'm actually doing something. Number two, eventually I'm gonna get a yes. That's the deal. Not everybody's going to say yes to you. Yes, we'd love for them to say yes. We'd love for everybody that I call up and say, yes, Mike, I want to buy, sell, I want to invest, I want to get coached, whatever the case might be for me. I would love for that to happen. My gosh, it would be great. But you know what? That's not the reality. That's fantasy. Reality is I'm going to get a bunch of no's before I get any number of yeses. They're going to exceed that, but you thrive on no. And in that process, knowing the word no, knowing that the word no is something that's going to occur, it thus inspires and motivates the top performers to pursue further. You see, if your basis is to help people, and that's your why, that's your reason to change your life, to change your zip code, to help your family grow and achieve, that's going to inspire you, because you know what? I have something more powerful than getting a no. And the last thing here is most people who understand this philosophy understand that no is a normal part of the process. It's not rejecting me. It's just at the time that I called somebody, I might have something extremely powerful that is life-changing, everything across the board. However, it is at that moment that I speak to people that they may not need it, they may not want it, may not desire it, whatever the case might be. So they understand as they go through this process that the top performers understand that no is a part of the equation, and accept it, get motivated by it, and get inspired by it. And it helps you to move forward in all that you do. Point number four is they're always thinking win-win. You know, it's not a win-lose. I get the deal, and you know, you have to give up something in order for this to make to work. It doesn't work like that, right? So top performers are thinking win-win. They negotiate that understanding. They look to see and solve problems. They understand that not everything is going to be perfect. While at the same time, they look to make sure that it's win-win. I don't expect you to lose by giving up money or price. If you're in the real estate space, as an example, a win-lose situation is where you might want to get a deal so bad that you're willing to give up your commission in order to get a deal done. Now, sometimes that might be the case. I'm not saying that's never going to happen. And if it needs to happen, you should do it. But it's got to be a play. It's a win-win. Again, that goes back to negotiating, but everybody's got to win. You've got to win so you're happy as for what you're doing, and people got to win because they get satisfied that you're helping to solve problems and you're making that happen. So that's point number four, think win-win. Point number five is they have a long-term outlook. You know, there's that philosophy that we should live in the present moment, not worry about the past and don't worry about the future, just live in the present moment, which is absolutely true, right? But it doesn't mean you don't think long-term, okay? What are the long-term effects of what I'm currently doing in the present moment? What are the long-term effects of the marketplace? I have an outlook. I understand. I'm ahead of the curve. I tell my clients all the time, it's not about what's going on in the marketplace that you should be concerned about. You need to be aware of it. You need to be on top of it. You need to be present in what's going on in let's say, the economic environment. And if the market changes, how are you going to be prepared? Well, the best way to be prepared is one, knowing, but two, always being ahead of that. If you know the current market conditions are going to be flat, well, whatever you do in your business should be way above that in terms of another percentage above what's going on in the marketplace. So I'm going to make sure that my business is always looking forward and working forward every single day. So understand what is the long-term outlook for my business, what's going on there, and I'm looking for long-term results. And then once you have that outlook, then you reverse engineer it back into what you need to do today. Point number six is they always put themselves in uncomfortable positions. You remember that philosophy of the comfort zone? Maybe you don't know what I'm referring to here, but a comfort zone is where you're currently at and you're comfortable doing things. You could look at it as brushing your teeth, putting on a tie, getting makeup on your face, eating, might be the way you drive. You're comfortable there because you know it, right? It is that point where the distinction of top performers understand that there is an element that I'm going to be uncomfortable in a lot of situations if I want to grow. And again, that's the big if. Do you want to grow? If you want to grow, then you got to look at this situation and go, listen, I'm gonna be uncomfortable. And you know what? Seek uncomfort. Seek uncomfort. That's what top performers do. They're always looking to put themselves in a not a compromising position so they lose or they might get hurt or anything like that. They just go out and stretch out of the comfort zone of what they're doing. So what are the things in your business right now and in your life that will get you uncomfortable that can help you grow, expand, and get more results in your business and in your life? Point number seven, okay? They always go the extra mile beyond what is expected. They over-deliver, they over-promise, and they give more than what everybody else does. It's that making that extra phone call. In a previous recording, I talked about communication with clients. You can never over-communicate with people. Even if they tell you, my gosh, you don't have to call me all of this. You don't have to keep calling me, Mike. I get it. No, I'm going to keep calling because that's my job, to keep you up to date, to keep you informed, to keep you educated and inspired. That's my mission here. That's the deal, right? So you go the extra mile, and you have to take a look at your business and ask yourself, what can I do to go the extra mile? You know, top performers are always going above and beyond the call of duty, as they say. And so what can you do in your business to outperform other people by doing more, right? Going that extra mile. Remember, you're going to be remembered by going that extra mile. So I was talking to my brother the other day about Amazon and what they do now. They've been doing it for a while because I've had the experience as often as I needed it. And that is, you call some companies. You know, this online world is pretty cool, right? But also there's a big challenge in it, in my humble opinion. Even the work that I do, companies like I'm doing this work recording on this program here that I'm doing, you have to email people and you have to go into a chat with them. Okay, that's fine. However, man alive, there's times when I'm just stuck, right? And I need an answer and I need to speak to somebody and I can't do it. I've got to say 98% of the time, I can't speak with people. They require that you just send them a message, you know, and set up a ticket, right? So I had an issue a couple of weeks ago just to confirm something on Amazon. Now, Amazon, for as big as they are and as much volume as they do, and one of the largest companies in the world today with hundreds of thousands of employees, I can pick up the phone and call and speak to somebody. Wow. To me, that's going the extra mile. So what can you do to go the extra mile in your business? Point number 8 is, they are highly disciplined people. In other words, they know what they need to do, they know when they need to do it, and they follow a process by doing that. They oftentimes don't mix and match things. In other words, if they set their schedule, they stick to that schedule. They have to do basically 4 or 5 things every single day to get the results that they want in their businesses, as an example. They have to generate leads, they have to call people, they have to follow up and qualify, they have to make sure they do presentations. Those are the 4 key areas of any successful operation, whatever business that you're in, right? And at the end of the day, these folks are highly disciplined in those areas of that production. They don't do some calls and do some paperwork and go and, you know, get gasoline in the car and stop in the middle of something that's real important to go to lunch when people are begging them to go with them because they haven't been with them in a long time. Whatever the case is, they're extremely and highly disciplined. You know, oftentimes it feels better to go to lunch or stop making phone calls. I get that. However, it is those things that make us uncomfortable that will help us to achieve. So being highly disciplined, and when you're highly disciplined, not always easy, especially if you're dealing in the people world where you're dealing with other people, you just have to establish the standards for yourself. What are my disciplines that I have to do every day? What are my disciplines in communication? How am I going to do that so I know I can have better control of my life and my business? All right. So here's the deal. Point number 9 is, they look at small failures, or they look at failures as opportunity. And whether small, I wrote it here, they look at small or large failures as opportunities to grow. Listen, the most important thing about failure is you're going to have them. You have to get that now. If you haven't heard it from somebody else, you're going to hear it from me now. And if you haven't heard me say it before, you're listening to me now. Failures are going to happen. And if failure doesn't mean you're a failure, it has nothing to do with you being a failure. The only thing that we can do when things don't work out the way we want them, we can call them failures. Oh, man, I failed at that. The question we have to ask ourselves is, what can I do better next time, right? So you have to look at 2 questions. And I always say this to everybody, and you probably heard me say this before. Hey, if I failed at something, I always look and say, you know what? What went well here? Great question. Write that down. What is going well here? What went well? I picked up the phone. That's a win, right? Look at the wins and begin to stack them, right? And then rather than saying, man, I blew it, I screwed up, I'm lousy, I suck, whatever you're going to say to yourself to destroy and push down your self-esteem and your self-concept about yourself, say, what can I do to improve the next time? That's all you need to do. See, you learn from failures. That's the only way we got to the moon. That's the only way we get better at this. The only way I can do these recordings is by my massive failures in doing part of them consistently. The other part is to really get out there and publicly speak like I do. I had to make a bunch of presentations. I wouldn't say thousands, but I had to make a bunch of presentations, even all the training and knowledge and skills and being around the very best people. I had to go out and do it, right? But over time, you just get better and you're going to fail your way to achievement and top performance in all that you do. Number 10, they take goal setting seriously. They take goal setting seriously. Is it something, it's not something I like to say cool to talk about. Oh, I got some goals, right? They take it seriously. They know what they want. They know what they have to do to achieve that want, that need, that desire, if you will. And then they take their goals and they reverse engineer them back into what I have to do today. That's the mission. So I set something up, I want to achieve X amount of income, and what do I need to do it to achieve that? Here's the 5 things I need to do, and then I reverse engineer to going down to what I need to do today. And it's a serious process. It's a serious measurement, and they look at them every single day. They check their bank accounts to see if they got the money in their bank account to make sure that they're achieving their goals. They look at their numbers. Are they checking in on what those goals that we've set to achieve? Are we achieving them? What's happening there? And they're on top of their goals. They know what they're going. They know what's going on. Sure, they got long-term visions and missions and passions and reasons why and so on. But those goals help us, like a heat-seeking missile, help us and guide us to the outcome that we really want in our business. Point number 11, they surround themselves with successful people. You know, if you're hanging around people that are making 40 or 50 grand a year and you do that more often, probably a chance you're going to be in that same world yourself as far as an economic environment. Remember, we become oftentimes, as Jim Rohn says, that we become the sum and substance of the people that we hang out with, the books that we read, right? And the knowledge that we gain. And the big thing there, the first thing is the people that we hang out with. And be in a room where people are smarter than you. If you're in a room where you're the smartest person, you're in the wrong room, okay? That you got to change rooms if you want to get to the highest level. And top performers get this. Very, very fundamental and very, very powerful towards that end. Make sure that you remind yourself of that. All right, guys? So number 12, they are extremely focused people. That's a part of the discipline, but the focus is the habit. What are you doing every day to develop that habit so you can create the disciplines every single day? You'll notice that they do one thing extremely well. If you're going to generate leads, prospect, whatever you want to categorize it as, talk to people, TTP, right? And that is one thing that you got to do to get and achieve a goal, right? Then do that one thing. Do that one thing extremely well. Don't bounce back and forth. I know this philosophy of multitasking. I got my phone going off. I don't even know where it's at right now. I put it aside because I didn't want to hear the buzzer going off, right? But at the end of the day, do one thing and get it done and be fundamental in that understanding. Don't be try to be the jack of all trades. And listen, if you are not good at something, no matter, you should know it logically, okay? Give you an example. If you know paperwork in your business because you learned it in the real estate space, it's about contracts and steps to close a transaction. You should know it, but it doesn't mean you have to be good at it. And at that point, you delegate it out, right? Now, even if you know it and you do it well, doesn't mean you should be doing it either, right? But because that's not a highly productive activity. It's better for somebody else to pay them 20, 30 bucks an hour to do something or a flat fee, whatever the negotiation is there, but to go out there and do that one thing that is highly productive that's gonna help you to achieve. That's what top performers do. Point number 13 here, the 80-20 rule. Remember, this 80-20 rule is critical. You've probably heard it a million ways to sunshine if you're in the sales business. If you're an entrepreneur, there's books been written about this, Pareto Principle, 80-20. 80% of the results come from only 20% of the activities. 80% of my sales come from only 20% of my client base, right? So it's true. If you just go back in history, whatever you might have done in your careers, whatever it is, you could probably say, you know what? That's correct. That 20% gave me 80% of those results. So the focus every day, going back to what I said a little bit ago, is that 20% of your activities give you 80% of the results. So what are the 20%ers in your business that are going to give you 80% of those results? If you're in sales, it's generating leads, talking to people, qualifying, number two, qualifying those people to determine their needs, wants, desires, timelines, and so on. Number four is following up with those people because you realize, well, I'm not going to get everybody on the first call, so I got to follow up with them. And the fourth thing is present. This is where the money's made in the presentation, meaning that you get the deal done. And there's other factors, obviously, practicing and negotiating and paperwork and other administrative function. But those four things are key result areas in your business. And then you go back and you measure them through what we talked about in terms of managing your numbers and understanding your goals. Then you look at that. But your 20%ers are those four things. Point number 14 here is they embrace change. Listen, things are going to change. Economic conditions change. Governments change. Policy changes, whether it's in your company or in your family or it's in your governments. Things change and you got to embrace it as part of the process. If you try to fight it, or things that you cannot control oftentimes, right? Then you just have to embrace it. It doesn't mean that you have to totally shift your business model. You might, we had an event here in the last year or two that a lot of people had to pivot. They pivoted from working in offices to working now out of their homes. Those are big changes and we have to embrace that. God, I'd love to go to work, to hang around my friends and my employees and going out to lunch and this and that and the other thing, or going out to the bar at night, whatever it is. That's not the way it is anymore, at least at this juncture, at the time of this recording. So we have to embrace change. You know what? Change is just part of the process and we just adapt to it accordingly, right? And so it's important that you understand that because top performers understand that if something is not working and they need to change something, they pivot and they do it quickly and they don't wait. Point number 15 is they constantly have a positive attitude, not a thing that you can always have. hey, I know I don't always have a positive attitude, at least in the presence of my own self when I'm sitting in my space quietly. I might wake up, I'm worried, I'm concerned about something. We're making business changes here. We're adding something into our company now that's gonna make a radical change. I've been working on it for a long time and it makes me nervous in a good way because I'm excited about it. At the same time, sometimes my attitude ain't so positive about it because I'd like to make better progress at it. But it doesn't mean that I don't fight that and look to get positive results in my mindset about it, meaning I'm thinking about the future. It's going to be good. So at the end of the day, we're going to go through some obstacles when we set our goals and have our dreams and our whys and the things that we want to achieve. And we're going to have some things that are going to screw up our attitude. We want a positive attitude. I think most people would prefer a positive attitude, unless you're an egomaniac and you don't really care about anything in life and you can care less if you have a positive or a negative attitude. You're just going to be walking around as a grumpy old man or woman or whatever the case might be and just be nasty to the world, right? So having a constantly, the top performers, they're always seeking ways to improve. Again, it goes back to the books we read, the people we hang with, our space, our environment, things that inspire us, that creates the positive attitude. What are you listening to? Are you listening to inspirational things? I listen to inspirational things every single morning. I listen to a gentleman by the name of Joel Osteen. You don't have to be religious to listen to him because I believe Joel, although I'm a religious guy, I believe in God and Jesus and all of those things. Doesn't mean I'm going to put my religious beliefs upon you unless you want to engage in them. That's cool. It's fine with me. But for me personally, reading a good book, listening to Joel every single morning and evening before I go to sleep inspires me. That's just what I do. Choose something and stay with that to help you engage your attitude. And then write down in your journal. You see behind me, that's what fell on the ground here, but I have it over here, a book, which is my journal. I'm gonna give it back and show it to you here. And it's my book. I got this at Michael's. It's an art book, but I use it as my journal. And I suggest that you get a journal, right? And I write on it, you know, raw, real, relevant information, believe that you can, and that's for me. So that's what top performers do in that arena. So have a constantly positive attitude through this whole process. Now we're gonna wind this down with the last two points, as I wrote down here in this process. Top performers are incredibly, number 16, incredibly great listeners in all that they do. Let me look at my clock here, make sure I'm on time here, okay? They're incredibly great listeners, all right? So one of the things I wanna make sure that I am clear about this is that when you are talking to people, right? I know oftentimes, I'll give it to you, give you an example here in the sales business, right? We get a lead. We convert that lead, we qualify that lead, and we finally got that, you know, top 20%er presentation, right? I'm finally gonna be belly to belly with somebody. Thank God it's been a while, right? And now that we've got that presentation, all we have in our mind is the commission. And we go into that, as people say, with commission breath. They see, oh my gosh, look at this. It's gonna change my zip code. It's gonna pay all my debt off in the last 30 days because I haven't had any income coming in. So our focus is so intent on the commission that when we're in the presentation, we forget to listen to people. Yeah, we're asking questions, we're going through the process, but you know, we're hoping that they're gonna say yes, or they're gonna sign this contract. This is the best thing. I made a good impression on the first call. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna get the commission. And what happens is they ignore listening to people. So here's the trick. Don't be attached to outcomes. Don't be attached to outcomes, because that interferes with your ability to listen and engage with people and dialogue with people. Very, very important and very powerful to understand for yourself. So here's the thing. When you ask questions of people, don't be attached to the outcome, number one. Number two, when you ask questions of people, listen to their answers. I'm gonna give you a technique here, and I talk about this in other recordings. I'm gonna give it to you here because we're here now, is the LAER process. It's the layer technique, LAER. When you ask a question, number one, you listen to the answer. Listen to it. Ask a question and you listen to it. Don't look over somebody's shoulder when you're asking a question. Don't look over somebody's shoulder when you're asking a question, because that doesn't mean that you're listening to them when they give you an answer. So you listen to them. You ask a question, look at them in the eye, or you use your voice with a smile on it and you ask that question. When they give you the answer, you acknowledge it. A, L is listen. When you ask a question, you listen. A is you acknowledge the answer. So you chose that you are listening to people. Give you a quick example to run through this in a second, all right? So you listen to the answer, you acknowledge the answer, you explore the answer, and then you respond, okay? LAER. So question, where are you moving to? What is your goal in wanting to sell? Well, we want to move to West Palm Beach from Miami. Good for you. You acknowledge. So I'm hearing you say, you listen, and the acknowledgement is this. So when your goal is to move, what is your goal? What do you want to accomplish? Well, we want to move to West Palm Beach. Your acknowledgement is West Palm Beach. Good for you. Now we're going to explore. So what takes you to West Palm Beach? Well, we're being relocated for our job and I don't want to commute back and forth. So you're being relocated to your job and you don't want to commute back and forth? I understand. So if we can get you there, what is your time frame for wanting to get to West Palm Beach? Well, we'd like to be there by June 1st. June 1st, good for you. So if there was a way that I could show you how I can get you to West Palm Beach in the time that you want with the limited amount of hassles, would that be something that we could work together on? Yes, perfect. So you're listening and acknowledging. I had to hang here for a minute because it's that important. So ask questions, listen to the answers, acknowledge those answers, explore, and then give a response to whatever the next step that you feel might be. If you need help on that, make sure you role play that out and talk to me or anybody else that could help you in that particular area. But this is what top performers do. They're incredibly great listeners. All right. And then point number 7, they take this information that they're listening to today. They're going into the books that they are reading. They're watching other programs, they're attending maybe seminars, they're having experiences in their business. They're learning all the time and they're learning and growing, right? And so here's the point. They acquire knowledge, right? And they put it into action. They acquire knowledge and they put it into action. Listen, it's not enough to know if you don't do something with what you know. It's not enough to know if you don't do something with what you know. It's kind of like the old philosophy that there's a big problem when you know how to read, yet you do not read versus the person who cannot read. You're no different. You're no different. So do yourself a favor. First, answer the question, do I want to be a top performer? Yes, I do. Terrific. Okay. Can I follow these previous 16 points that Mike said? Sure, I can implement those ideas. Easy. Not always, but it's going to be there for me to do because I got the points now. Now that I've acquired number 17, this knowledge, now we're going to put it into action. All right. I'm going to focus on the top 20% of my business. I'm going to focus on being habit driven, and I'm going to be disciplined with what I do. And these are the steps that I'm going to take to achieve it. I understand that it's not going to always be perfect. I understand that I'm not going to always get a yes. I'm going to work with understanding. I'm going to take on the no's. Bring them on, baby. I love it, right? So you got to do something with what you know. And that's what the distinction of the top performers. They don't just listen to programs and audio programs and read books. They do something with what they know. They have the reasons for what they want to do. They set a plan to achieve them. They commit, they have the desire, and then they do what? They put it into action and they do something with it every single day. All right. So I hope these made sense. Please rewind this. You can always increase the speed on these recordings if you want to go through them faster, which I definitely encourage, not only for time, but for effectiveness, because when you listen to things at high speed, we tend to listen more carefully. Write these thoughts down, address them, rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 10, where you're at in each one of these areas, and then go out and make a little bit of a difference in each one of the areas over a period of time. And you're going to watch radical changes and you will become a top performer in your field. I almost guarantee that. The reason I don't fully guarantee it is because I don't know what you're going to do with it. Are you going to get all this information, try it out for a couple of days? Oh, this doesn't work. Mike was full of shit. Whatever the question was that you came up with, a reason, and you're going to stop doing it. So I will guarantee it if you work on it over time, periodically, just like a muscle, like a gym, and you're working at it to build that muscle up, you will be a top performer. All right, guys, thanks so much for your time. As always, please, I beg of you, don't make me beg. I don't like to beg, but I'll say it here. Pay this forward to your family, your friends, your colleagues, and without question, your clients, who will probably appreciate that you're sharing with them some ideas to make their lives better. And they're going to go, wow, this person made an impact on me in all they do. I hope you like it. Subscribe, leave a comment, pay this forward. But more importantly, go out there and make it a great day. I thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention here. And I appreciate it.